Okay, we are in Heavenly Places, page 205 if you have the book. And it's titled Take Marriage Problems to God, July 17th. Right. Starts off with Mark chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. It says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Big difference today, though, right? 2-3 weeks ago, especially with June 26th, they passed the law saying that men can marry men and women can marry women. And I finally got that video up. I didn't post it out in the conference room emails yet because I don't want to send out another one because people get annoyed with that. So next week when I send out the midweek alert as to what we're going to be preaching on, well, next week's testimony, though, there'll be a blurb in there about the new video that I posted. And all it is the sermon I did back on the 4th of July. And I don't expect it to get a lot of hits. I just want the people that need to hear it to hear it. And Brother Warren needed it for a DVD. So I really wasn't going to, didn't want to do it because it was huge. 37 minutes. And I thought it was going to be 45, but I edited out a bunch of stuff. You know, the hiccups and confusion when I was preaching. Because I kind of got sidetracked. Now that one. Wait a second. Okay, it kind of looks like a twister, but... Nah, it's just a hanging... Wait, let me put on better glasses here because something looks kind of ominous. Okay, no, it's just a hanging cloud. Yeah, because these glasses make everything foggy. But yeah, we got some weather moving in. So, you're welcome, Brother Stephen. All right. Okay, getting back. Too often the marriage relation is entered into without proper consideration. And see right there, and this is one of the reasons I've never actually attended I've done funerals and stuff like that, which I don't ever want to do again. My very first funeral, I was threatened by the dead man's son because I refused to preach him into heaven. But the main thing is the second funeral I did was a friend of mine, and that was not easy to do. Everybody lost it, including myself on the pulpit. It was not easy to stand there without crying. And when I cry, my whole face distorts, and so I can't talk. It's like chewing on a lemon or something. But the thing about marriages, and I've been asked a few times, but I've never really done, officiated, if you will, at a wedding. I'd like to one day maybe, but I never looked into it, and I don't want to be, in other words, I don't want the church or even the ministry recognized in any way in that official format, if you will, to where government can get a handshake. And no, you can do that without it. I've known people that have gone, the complete without a license way, and the only hassle there is for the woman, especially if she has a career or she wants to get a job, or even just a joint bank account. Getting your name changed could take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years without a proper wedding license. And why do they want a license? Well, I don't want to get into all that, but a lot of us understand the government's always going to get involved in some way, and it's just a way for them to make money as well as to control. And so I didn't want any part of that, and so I never really done weddings. You don't need a license to do funerals or even dedications. I've never done a dedication, but anyway, she goes on to say that none should marry in uncertainty, and that's another reason why I don't like doing weddings, is unless I can actually be there with the husband and the wife and know them for at least a year or two, be there with the courting kind of thing. And I'm not talking chaperone because, of course, we're an online church and the odds are fire against me hanging around in your neck of the woods anytime soon. But still, the thing is, there is a time period that should be acknowledged. It's just like with some people that have left our number, and one of them was having a problem with, you know, women. Let's just put it that way. And some people will ignore advice. And even though Sister White goes into detail, we know about what goes on in the scriptures. We know about the dowry in scriptures and see how men would leave for a couple, 3 years, and then come back and declare unto the father he wants the woman's hand in marriage, and then he has a dowry to offer, and she has a dowry, and, you know, the hope chest, they call it today, whatever. And but there was always that time period in there so as to make sure that the Lord's hand was involved in this joining of two, you know, husband and wife. But all too often, you know, some people don't date, if you will, long enough. And even dating today isn't what you would call courting in Scripture. Dating today is just, well, just plain fornication. You know, not for Christians. Not like real Christians aren't going to be going that route. They're going to save themselves for marriage and stuff like that. But and so the uncertainty here is, how can I stand as a minister and marry somebody if I don't know? Because a guy that, as a matter of fact, and this was difficult for me because I liked this guy, and he was part of our church family years ago, but it was just never in the chat room, though. He was just part of the number, in emails and stuff like that. I talked on the phone a couple, three times. His wife died out of the blue, just died. And it was difficult for him and for the kids and even for myself, because it was I was just thinking, like, what if that happened to me, kind of a thing, you know. And but he asked me to marry him and his new bride 2 or 3 years after his other wife died, which is, you know, okay. I mean, but I didn't know her. I didn't know her faith. I knew him. I knew his faith, but I didn't know her. And I could not get a hold of him. He kept on sending me emails that kept bouncing back, because that was the time that the server was getting messed with, and they were blocking me left. And they're still blocking me. But now I have a little kind of a better way of sending emails now, using a different type of software. So it gets to most people now. But so I could never get the guy. And, you know, I called him on the phone, left messages, nothing. But still, if he would have answered the phone, if he would have answered the emails, I would have to say to him, I can't do it. I don't know you anymore, actually. I didn't know, you know, I hadn't heard from him in 2 or 3 years since his wife died. He'd kind of like just dropped out of sight. I don't know if he lost his faith or not. But he kept asking me to marry him. And but I didn't, you know, it's that the uncertainty here. So she goes on. But if they have not been properly considerate in this manner, and after marriage find themselves dissimilar in character and liable to reap unhappiness in the place of joy, let them not breathe into another's mind the fact that their marriage was unwise. Which, again, it's just like with a brother in the faith recently that left our number and went to some other state and married some woman. He only knew her for a few months. Where it's at now, I don't know, because I haven't heard from him in a while. But I had a buddy that I hung with, and I met him when I was a kid on bikes. And his name's Tony. I've talked about him a few times in here. I call him once in a while. He'll call me once in a while. He's the only guy from my old neck of the woods that still talks to me, because he found Christ. Granted, he's a Sunday keeper, 7-year tribber, you know, eternal life in hellfire thing. He still doesn't get a lot of that stuff. And he does mention a lot of times when we're talking that he knows I don't believe this and I don't believe that. And I says, yeah, and I'm not changing either, Tone. But I don't say it that way, of course. Him and I are buds. And so he, you know, but I keep it that way. Is I don't go out and hang with him. I have not done that since I became a Christian, and that was 30-some years ago. So he was one of the guys that just disappeared from my life after I found Christ, and he was one of them. It wasn't until about 10 years ago, and I was already 10 years into keeping Sabbath, that all of a sudden he just started calling me. And he just did this, where he met this woman on Facebook. Went down there to meet her face to face. And, you know, a couple of months later, drove down there again and got married. And I try to counsel him. He says, you don't know her well enough. You know, it's a big difference between, like, you know, kissy here, kissy huggy there, you know, or, oh, you're so nice this and you're so nice that. And, you know, live with a girl, you know. Well, I'm not saying you should live with them first. I'm just saying once you get married, now you're living with her. And you're going to realize, okay, there's some idiosyncrasies here that you didn't expect. And even if there ain't any idiosyncrasies, what about you? What about you? I mean, what if all of a sudden you become a complete mental case, according to her? She's never met anybody like you before, you know, all these problems you got, let's say. And you just don't know each other. And so just out of the blue, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I asked him, so how's married life? You've been married now, you know, a couple, 3 months? I says, yeah, well, it's married life. That's all he said. The guy's a newlywed. And already slapping himself on the forehead saying, oh, what have I done? What have I done? So, she goes on. This is an amazing picture outside my window here. That front is hanging over the house. It looks to be about 15 miles from here. And the clouds are just, they're obviously burst open. I mean, there's just sheets of water coming down. It's just, not here. It's dry as a bone here. But it's just amazing the way the Lord allows it. It looks so beautiful. Because it's sunsetting and all that. It's just amazing. Anyway, she goes on. She says, the evil is always increased when either the wife or the husband, finding someone who appears to be a congenial spirit, ventures to whisper to this trusted one the secrets of the married life. The very act of making known the secret confirms the existence of a condition of things that would not be at all necessary if the husband and the wife loved God supremely. You know, because we all know, especially if, you know, a Christian marries a Christian, you don't think evil of your brethren. Well, you especially don't think evil of your spouse, because that's the helpmeet or the head of the house that the Lord. In other words, the Lord has put you two together, period. And so you don't speak ill of each other. She says, in many cases where these difficulties are thought to exist, the cause is imaginary. And I'm infamous, like, sorry. For that, especially, in my earlier years, actually, I would always think, and I don't want to blame it on upbringing, but there is something there when it comes to upbringing, because if you're raised in a dysfunctional family, you're going to, it's just like with diet. If you're raised eating pig knuckles and kishka and even drinking ouzo. I mean, if you got a strange diet in your house, and then later on in life you start getting all these diseases, and you think that's hereditary. Says, no, the diet's what did it. That's what's hereditary, is the diet. You were raised on something, and you have that way about you. This is what you like to eat from that day forward. Let's say, well, you know, depending upon the way the house is run, this in our household when I was a kid. Everybody's always pointing fingers at anybody else. It was always sarcasm and, well, there was always fighting. And I praise God for it in a way, because of the fact that that's what got me out of the house, go out in the prairies, starting at the age of 8, to just go talk to God, because no one else would listen. And I got that alone time. And I've gotten to the point where I love that alone time. But it was stuck in my mind ever since a very, very early age. That everybody's like this, at least I thought, until I met my wife. She doesn't think the way I think. I praise God for that, because I learn a lot from her, and I'm sure she learns a lot from me. I'm not praising her. She's not praising me. I'm just saying there was a reason the Lord put us together. And because she hates it when I bring this stuff up. You know, because, you know, she's got a humble spirit just like we all need to have, right? Like I want to have and hope to have it in certain areas. You'll assume, okay, let's just say you go into the bathroom one morning and you find like a washcloth on the side of the sink, let's say. And I'm not saying this happens in our house. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm trying to think of something, pull it out of my head kind of a thing. And let's just say that's there and it's like, you just start getting all upset, right? You're thinking, oh, she put it there. She put it there just to tick me off because she knows I can't, you know, it just goes on from there. It's all imaginary. You start thinking, and that's just one little speck of it. You know, it could be you know, she makes the food in this way because she likes it that way. She knows I don't like it that way, and vice versa. He'll go out and he'll buy things for himself, but he'll buy the cheap junk for me. You know, it goes back and forth. So you got that imaginary thing going back and forth. In my case, it was the way I was raised. Everybody in our house was like that, thinking you did this on purpose, and then boom, right upside the head. And you're thinking, what were you talking about? Because, you know, more than 90% of the time, it was like totally pulled out of the sky. It was just, it was like a pack of demons in our house. It was a Catholic household. So there had to be a pack of demons in that house when I was growing up because it was just one big fight after another. Yeah, pet peeves. Thank you. Yeah, pet peeves. They were all over the place. So she says, if the husband and wife would freely talk over the matter with each other in the spirit of Christ, the difficulty would be healed. And I remember one time many years ago, a friend and I were just at each other's throats. This is, we were Sunday keepers back then, but we were just starting to get into the truth. We were just starting, you know, the street work and stuff like that. And one day, right in the middle of an argument, we kind of looked at each other and I stopped and says, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're yelling and screaming at each other left and right like we're all of a sudden going to just get divorced and just split up. And the world's coming to an end all around us. And this is like, this is, you know, 25 years ago, let's say. I says, we can't be concerned with these trivial matters. People get divorced because the guy hangs the toilet paper roll where it touches the wall rather than hangs out the front of the roll. Husbands have killed their wives because she bought, I don't know, a chocolate Easter bunny or something. Something stupid. I mean, there's just crazy reasons why people do things. And this is kind of like we were headed. We were yelling and screaming at each other for some of the dumbest stuff. And then all of a sudden we just stopped and said, what are we doing? At least, you know, in my mind. And she thought, yeah, what are we doing? And it got pretty good after that. And we still had our fights after that. But now, Fran and I can have a fight, well, a misunderstanding, and then 30 seconds later, Seth, what's for dinner? You know, it's like we didn't have a fight. We're so used to each other, and I praise God for that. And but still, the other toss of the coin is what she's saying here, and it really does work. Talk it over in the spirit of Christ, and it's healed. It's just that easy. Even if the spouse isn't a believer yet. Even if the spouse isn't a believer yet, because this will eventually get them to want Jesus in their lives. You may not see them watching you, because 9 times out of 10 you don't. I don't know how many times people come up to me and said certain things. I had no idea they were watching me. And I'm sure my brother-in-law and that one woman that worked at John Hancock, they had no clue I was watching them. They were the first Christians that had real fruit that I ever saw, and I watched them. You know, as Mr. Macho, as much as I wanted to be, is Mr. Punk and Mr. Prince of Perversion, you know, Mr. Mouth, no one could have ever guessed it. Like this one guy that I knew at Pastor Russ's place, he says he never ever expected me to become a Christian because I was the punk in the high school, because him and I went to the same high school. He says I was the guy that, you know, he says he never would have expected that. I said, yeah, well, so you never know. Your spouse might be crying out for Jesus right now without you even having the slightest clue because I hit it real good. No one had any idea, not even my own wife. Because when I met Jesus, I called her, and I kind of had the feeling that she kind of knew what was going on because she had been praying because I was a jerk. And at the moment she was praying, the Lord was slapping me around. And then when I called her to let her know what just happened, because I was far from home, it was product knowledge, kind of a setup from Metropolitan, and I wouldn't have been able to see her for 10 days. But anyway, she goes on to say, if they loved God supremely, you know, husband and wife, amen, Brother Matthew, amen. If they loved God supremely, their hearts would be so filled, so satisfied with his love, that they would not be consumed with longing for affection to be manifested in acts towards themselves. Kind of like, what have you done for me lately? You know? I saw this once years ago. I can't remember exactly how it went, but it kind of reminds me of the heel in a loaf of bread. Yeah, I kid you, because that happens to be, in rye bread, that's my favorite part of the loaf, the heel. And but it struck me one time when I saw how this one guy, and it was some kind of little quickie little video, this was years ago, about how a wife was getting in the face of her Christian husband. He says, you, every time we have breakfast, and every time we have a, because he used to cook the breakfasts every now and then, right? And she got all up in his face, yelling and screaming about how he always gave her the toast with the two heels, or with the heel, because the other heel's on the internet and the loaf, of course. And she got upset about that. And you could just see it really tearing into the man's heart. And this, I don't even think it was a video, I think it was a testimony. And he was telling her that the end result of it all, he was more or less just saying, hey, honey, I thought you wanted the heel because, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best part of the loaf. And then you could just see her jaw drop. He was doing that for her. And she thought he was doing that for him. You see, a lot of people, it's like even sometimes you have these arguments with your husband. Fran and I do this, and I know a lot of you do this, because I get the emails and the phone calls. You know, like I'll say something to Fran, she'll hear every other word because she definitely wants to hear it in her way. And I do the exact same thing to her. She could come up with a complete paragraph of an explanation of something, and I'll pick out 10 or 15 words and go, and so you meant this, didn't you? And so, you know, well, we don't talk like that anymore, but you know what I mean. You know, you'll only hear what you want to hear. And boy, does it keep that anger boiling. The demons are just sitting there, you know, messing with you. They have an awful lot of control where you give them permission. She says that many have mistaken the true duty of the wife to the husband and the husband to the wife. Self becomes all-absorbing. And Satan has his net all ready to draw out the human soul, to get it so entangled with human imaginations that it seems impossible for human wisdom to disentangle the meshes of his finely woven snares. Look at the divorce rate in the United States of America. You think it's bad now? Give it a couple of years now that homosexual marriage is legalized. And that's not even real divorce. But boy, those people are going to find out the hard way. You want to legalize marriage now? But that's not going to end there. You know it's not. They're not going to be satisfied with the fact that they can legally marry. They want to remove marriage from society. I put a video on that, and I even quoted the woman. I actually let her speak. I only put her picture up, but that one advocate for homosexual this and homosexual. She literally said on camera that, and I only allowed the audio, but she said on camera that they don't care about homosexual marriage. They just want to remove marriage altogether. That way you won't have to deal. I mean, you wait till a few thousand homosexuals have to get divorced. Yeah, they're going to start flexing their political muscles once again, and then before you know it. And then the polygamy thing. They're already pushing that, and the pedophilia. The pedophilia is at the ground floor the way polygamy was at the ground floor when homosexual marriage was in the media. Now that it's legalized, polygamy is in the media, and pedophilia is on the ground floor. They know what they're doing. Well, at least the demons in them do. Yeah, no-fault divorce. It's just like no-fault car accidents and stuff like that. So, going on. She says, but what human wisdom cannot do, the wisdom of God can do. Through the surrender of the will, the mind, the soul, the strength, the entire being to God. And I got to tell you, it makes it so much easier. Life makes it, I mean, he makes life so much more prosperous. And I'm not talking, you know, nickels and dimes or tens and twenties either. I'm not talking money at all. I mean, seriously, what are you going to do with money when you get to heaven anyway? So he's not going to give us lessons on financial wisdom. Well, yeah, to some extent when we have to do this and that for him. Because down here you need money, yeah, but this isn't going to be the crux of his message, because up in heaven we're going to be walking on streets of gold, so we don't need the money. And so when he says, you know, be fruitful and multiply and be prosperous and all this other stuff, it has nothing to do with the bucks. So many people think it does because of guys like Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes and what was that other guy that he did the TBN thing. And I'm not talking about Crouch. I'm talking about his man that always seemed to get on camera, talking about how, and every time this guy was on camera, it was always to ask for money. That's all he did. The guy with the hair, really thick, and I'm not talking Benny Hinn, that that was strange. But I'm talking about the guy with regular hair, and he just combed it really thick. I can't remember the guy's name. They made a couple of videos about him. About it. That's all he does, ask for money. That's all it is. It's just like T.D. Jakes says, Jesus is the product. When I literally, like I said in the video the other day, or in my sermon a couple of weeks ago, my jaw dropped the first time I saw him say that. I said, you're making it too easy for us, guys. Can't you realize that you have literally done exactly as Jesus predicted in his word through his apostles when he started talking about you guys that preach for filthy lucre? I mean, you just make it too easy for us, but even there, doesn't really matter, because look at Satan waving that flag. I mean, for those of us who understand prophecy, we know what that flag means. But because so many people don't understand prophecy, try to explain it to them. It's like you're walking up to somebody to try to explain neurosurgery to them when all they can do is hammer a nail or something. They don't really, I'm not taking away from carpenters. I'm a carpenter. So, you know what I mean? There's a big difference between hammering a nail and neurosurgery. So she goes on to say that his providence, you know, speaking of our Father, his providence can unite hearts and bonds that are of heavenly origin. I mean, after all, we're going to want to live together, right? For all eternity. I mean, if you can't get along with the people down here, how are you going to get along with them in heaven? And that's not just talking to racists and bigots either. It's people that don't like the washcloth on the edge of that sink. You know, because I was talking to the Lord about that the other night. This is, you know, sometimes it's just, some people are, you know, like sometimes I get a little bit too upset about stupid stuff. And I praise his name that he's working with me on that. Boy, I used to be real bad, though. But it looks like that storm did squeak a little bit south, so it's going to hit us. Well, just the rain, anyway.
I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, I can see it. The clouds are moving this way. It's just going to be rain, though. Because I just heard thunder. I don't know if you guys heard it, or girls. So, she goes on to say again that his providence can unite hearts and bonds that are of heavenly origin, but the result will not be a mere external interchange of affection and soft and flattering words. Oh. And that, see, I don't even want to, like this one guy I knew years ago, and I separated myself from him because the scriptures is plain, you can't be friends with an angry man. So it's in the book of Proverbs. And so, years later, all of a sudden he contacts me and says, yeah, I got married. Calm down. Everything's good to go and everything's cool. And I says, oh, great. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like him and his wife are talking. It's like kissy poop of this and kissy poop. I mean, it was just ridiculously. I mean, it's just. And I says, oh, these guys ain't going to last. All it was an interchange of affection and soft and flattering words. I says, why did you marry? And how long did you know her? Well, a couple of weeks. And you married her. And sure enough, it's just been one war after another. And because he was back in my life now, he figured it's okay to call him. I says, look, I don't do the... And for those of you that if you start having marital problems, please don't call me without your spouse on the other line. I don't mind talking to you about marital problems. But the he said, she said thing don't work. I can't pick sides. And this is what was going on with this guy. I mean, he'd call me 3 or 4 times a day. She'd call me 3 or 4 times a day. He did this. She did that. She did... Oh. Well, let's all talk about it together. They would never do it. This is after about 6 months of that. Literally, I let it. I don't know why I dragged it out. I had enough. I walked away from it. I says, you know, if you're not going to take my advice, because that's what they weren't. They just wanted the vent. But the fact of the matter is, it was that soft and flattery word thing. They just got married. Everything was sugar coated. And within a week. I kid you not, they were only married a week, maybe 10 days, the wars began. And it was bound to happen, too. The woman was on her fifth marriage, too, so that was bound to happen. So finishing, she says, there will be a new experience. The loom of heaven weaves with warp and woof, finer yet more firm than those of earth. The material is not a mere tissue fabric, but a texture that will bear the wear and test of trial. Heart is bound firmly to heart in the golden chain of a love that is genuine. So amen and amen and amen.